me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
Let's start this shit off right off the top with a couple of, you know, beat the fuck up. Yo, right off the top, I want to give a big up to Dark Mark, the Dark Mark Show, right here live every Thursday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Dark Mark is my homeboy. He's always posting on Facebook, like giving the NPR some love, you know what I'm saying? So I want to give some, reciprocate some love to the DMS, you know what I mean? Big the fuck up. Anyway, as you all know, I'm your motherfucking host, Nestorius, a.k.a. Nestor Rodriguez.
You know, Nestorius the Glorious.
Nestorius, you know what I'm saying? And that's my man Rich Corbin.
What's up, everybody?
Rich Corbin. That's all, folks.
You thought I was going to say son of a bitch.
Who knew? Who knew this motherfucker worked for Hanna-Barbera?
What's up, Jack?
Even though I know it's not Hanna-Barbera, you're talking about
Warner Brothers.
Warner
Brothers, hey, motherfuckers.
Hey, you see the police? Warner Brother. You know what I'm saying?
Warner Brother.
So today in history, Nestorius becomes the patriarch of Constantinople in AD 428. All right? Today in history.
It's Istanbul.
Yeah. Brought to you by the folks over at NPR. Wish Simon was here. He'd be like, support for NPR. Sponsored by. Anyway, today is episode 77. I was looking at our roster of episodes, and I thought we had already done our 100th episode, but we haven't. We have about, I don't know, another 15 non-numbered episodes and a couple of video episodes, but we're coming close, man. 2 years, actually. We've been doing this show for 2 years. Maybe a little bit over 2 years. Maybe if it is a little over 2 years, it's just a little over 2 years. But basically 2 years, 2015. We started the show in 2013. I think it is a little over 2 years because we started in March. Mm-hmm. Already in April. So keep an eye out for the 100th episode. I'll let you guys know. Definitely go to iTunes and rate the show, put a review on the show. And I just want to tell you right off the top, take a screen grab of a review of 4 stars or better, and I'll send you some floss, some dental floss. And you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to send you some Q-tips also. Ooh. You know what I mean? So you can clean your ear hole and tell your other friends to listen to NPR on your motherfucking stereo. You know what I mean?
You're going to need it after you listen to the show. You need to clean your ears after you listen to the shit that we say, motherfuckers.
No, but seriously, iTunes, go to iTunes, look up in iTunes Store under Podcast, The Stories Public Radio. Go in the review section, put a review in there. Come on, man. Tell your friends, put a review in there. And take a screen grab of it, email it to me at Nestorius@yahoo.com, or post it on Nestorius Public Radio's Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Nestorius Public Radio, and inbox me, and I'll send you a shirt, straight up, large, extra large, medium large, extra large, and I'll send you a shirt, all right? For real, but for motherfucking real, know what I mean? And one other thing, on my Facebook page, on my personal Facebook page, that's facebook.com. What is my Facebook page? It's Nestorius, right? It's just Nestorius. I don't fucking even. No, that's Nestorius Public Radio. My personal page is, that's Jenny. That's my, like, I'm going to hire Jamie.
I wasn't even on the air. Sorry, but I was pretty
new. Oh, you weren't on the air. She was telling me, right. You're not on the
air. I'll look it up for you.
All right. No, I think it's Nestorius. It's Facebook. I'm retarded. it's Facebook.com, and I believe it's just Nestorius. All right? So go to my Facebook page, and I have another page called Silver Skies, and it's about a film. It's a film that my wife and I produced. And we just put together a reel, so to speak, with interviews with the actors, George Hamilton, Barbara Bain, Valerie Perrine, Alex Rocco, Jack McGee. And I want you to like that. It's a YouTube clip. Like it and share it with all your friends, okay? So I wanted to ask you that right off the top. You
know, well, I'm going to have to like that right now.
Like that top. Like
I'm
going
to like that shit.
So anyway, so, we were talking about, it's facebook.com/Nestorius, the Facebook page. Forgive me, I have a lot of fucking websites and ticker tapes strolling through my head right now, so it's kind of difficult for me to focus on a lot of things, you know what I mean? Anyway, 1-800-893-9562. 1-800-893-9562 is our number. Just in case you didn't know, you can call us live every Thursday night or whenever we're on the air, which is every Thursday night from 9 to 10, for the exception of a couple of times when I'm out of town. But we were talking about Scientology a few episodes back, episode 69, and we were talking about the documentary Going Clear, The Prison of Belief, I believe is the full title of that. Mm-hmm. And then the documentary came out, and I got to see it, and it was very, very interesting. You know, I had read a lot of things about it and about L. Ron Hubbard and Scientology and stuff like that. But the one thing that the documentary kind of goes into that really blows my cranium is how the Church of Scientology had an ongoing lawsuit with the IRS.
Oh, they had multiple.
Well, but I mean, they had this riff going.
Yeah.
Well,
they first had 50 lawsuits.
First of all, it was in the 50s that L. Ron Hubbard founded Church of Scientology, right? With 53 or something like that. And so 53 or 50, whatever, 50 something.
Right.
Let's say 53. I may be wrong. I may be off by a year. But basically, the IRS gave the Church of Scientology a tax-exempt status based on them being a religion. And, of course, you have to apply and you have to, fall under certain criteria, et cetera, all of which I don't know what the specifics are. But somewhere around the 60s, give or take, around 10 years after the Church of Scientology was formed, the IRS came and they basically said, no, you're not a church, and we're going to renege the tax-exempt status, mm-hmm, for religion. So for you being a religion. So what happened after that was the Church of Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard and a bunch of his goons said, okay, fuck you. Thank you. You don't think we're a religion, but we are. And we're still not going to fucking pay you. And they haven't paid taxes since 60 fucking three. Whatever. Let's say it's 65.
Yeah.
They haven't paid taxes since that point up until 1993. Okay. So 1993 was when the IRS basically bowed down, for lack of a better word, to the Church of Scientology and said, okay, we're going to grant you religious status. And of course, this is a huge win for the Church of Scientology and followers of L. Ron Hubbard. So that's the thing that fucking gets me, because anyway, L. Ron Hubbard, well, let me
they sort of, the IRS sort of took a knee in a way. They kind of said uncle. Because you know, they were killing them with the lawsuits, but then, you know, they just fucking hire private investigators to go and, hey, guess what? This guy paid for a hooker in New York last time he went for a trip there. I mean, they just digging the dirt. They start digging up the fucking
Before you go into all the specifics of all that,
out of the closet.
That was under. Well, let me just read this one thing here. It says from the Los Angeles Times that you sent me, which is kind of like an overview of this amazing article in the New York Times that I read, which is called. Let me tell you about the New York Times. The New York Times. Article, which, by the way, was printed in March 9th of 97. You can Google this. It's Scientology's Puzzling Journey from Tax Rebel to Tax Exempt. Scientology's Puzzling Journey from Tax Rebel to Tax Exempt. That's the article that I want to talk about. I have a chronology of the things that happened, but you had sent me this this article about Scientology's MO of spying, and basically what they do basically is they, like you said, you alluded, they hire these PIs, private investigators, to find out back shit about you, and then they, you know, jeopardize your welfare, you know, plant bullshit.
That's like a known tactic that they use. I mean, there are documents, or right. There used to be documents in Scientology
that are
pretty much, here's how you fuck somebody up. If they say anything bad about you or this and that, this is what you do. Find the things that are most important to them, you know, and compromise those things. You know, pretty much find out how you can take that away from them, you know. And it's just dirty pool, man. It's dirty pool. And the fucked up thing, you know, Scientology to me is kind of like the George W. Bush of fucking religions.
Oh, because, shit.
Nah, what happened?
No,
seriously.
He's You're like George Bush of
because
religions.
Look at all this shit George W. did. And it was in broad daylight. I never saw that footage. Then they show footage of him watching the footage.
That wasn't as bad as fucking Ronald Reagan, like, you know, pleading fucking temporarily amnesia when he was brought to trial or questioned about stuff. Yeah. I don't remember.
I do not recall anything of those.
That's the difference between Republicans. Republicans are way smarter than Democrats, right?
Because they have teeth.
Think about it. If Bill Clinton would have said, I don't remember having my cock in Monica Lewinsky's mouth, nothing would have happened, right? Ken Starr would never have wasted millions of fucking tax dollars investigating this, that, and the other. They would have just been like, oh, he doesn't remember, just like Ronald Reagan. All right, let it go. Come on, let's move on. But instead, he said he denied it, right?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. If you do something, don't deny it. Just plead amnesia. Just, I don't remember. I don't know.
But, man, I mean, they're doing this shit in broad daylight. They get caught red-handed every time, and there's still a fucking organization.
So let me... What you were talking about was going back to the Church of Scientology. It's called Snow White. It's a program code named Snow White. So basically, it goes like this. In 1973, the church embarked on a program code named Snow White. In a document labeled Secret, Mr. Hubbard outlined a strategy to root out all false and secret files held by governments around the world regarding Scientology. Attack is necessary to an effective defense, L. Ron wrote. Snow White soon turned sinister. Under the supervision of Mr. Hubbard's third wife, Mary Sue, Scientologists infiltrated the Department of Justice and the IRS to uncover information on Mr. Hubbard. They broke into offices at night and copied mountains of documents. At one point, an electronic bugging device was hidden inside an IRS conference room the day before meeting about Scientology. Critics say those actions fell under a church doctrine that Mr. Hubbard called the fair game policy. Mr. Hubbard wrote that church enemies might be deprived of property or injured by any Scientologist without any discipline of the Scientologist, may be tricked, sued, or lied to, or destroyed. The conspiracy was uncovered in 1977, and Mrs. Hubbard and 10 others were sentenced to prison. Mr. Hubbard was named an unindicted co-conspirator because investigators could not link him to the crimes. The IRS was not giving Scientology its tax exemption, so they were considered to be a pretty major enemy, Ms. Young said. That's another paragraph that I took from a synopsis. Let me go back to the chronology of the U.S. Treasury. Hold on a second. The IRS and that New York Times article, which is pretty interesting. So basically, let's go from the beginning, and this gives you like a time map of what happened. So the publicity campaign in an advertisement the Church of Scientology ran in the New York Times on October 17th, and I believe this is back in the 70s, the church touted the IRS exemptions and criticized the German government, the commissioner, Fred T. Goldberg, Jr., the commissioner, Fred T. Goldberg, Jr., led the IRS when it opened talks with Scientology. That's the Department of the Treasury. The church leader, David Miscavige, Scientology's leader, proposed a deal to end the tax war. The document. In 1973, L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology, outlined a program that was codenamed Snow White, through which the church sought to root out false ideas and secret files about Scientology among the governments of the world. Scientology counseling sessions use a device known as E-Meter. The founding church, a service of the original Scientology church in Washington, D.C. By the way, the Church of Scientology, I believe, has 51 factions or something like that. One of them is called Sea Org. One of them is called, as you see, the Church of Scientology, blah, 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 blah. There's a bunch of them. In episode 69, I think we broke some of them down. But church versus state, 1950s to 1950. In 1954, the Church of Scientology of California is established by L. Ron Hubbard, a prolific science fiction writer whose preachings form the church's scripture. In January 2nd, 1957, the IRS service grants a tax exemption to the church. Of Church of Scientology of California. In July 18 of 1967, so it was 57, not 53. In 67, 10 years later, after an audit, the IRS revokes the church's tax exemption, saying that the church's activities were commercial and that it was servicing the private interests of Mr. Hubbard and other practitioners. So basically, I'm going to pause there for a second. You could be a church and you can do a lot of shit, but you cannot be raising money for commercial gain, and you cannot be selling things so that individuals can benefit from that type of stuff. And when they got audited in 67, the IRS deemed them not to be a religion. So they took away the tax exempt. So let me see. April 28, 73, Scientology implements a secret program called Snow White in an effort to root out and remove false files about the church of Mr. Hubbard held by governments around the world. July 7, 1977, FBI raids on Scientology's world headquarters in L.A. and offices in Washington discover evidence that its members conspired to infiltrate, burglarize, and bug offices of the IRS and Justice Department. Let's see. 1980s. Late 1984, Stacey B. Young, a Scientology defector, says that she helped create the National Coalition of IRS Whistleblowers to undermine the agency's credibility. That's what you were talking about, that this is one of the tactics that they use. They came up with this fictitious national coalition of IRS whistleblowers. They didn't say we're the Scientologists who are fighting. They create these things, and so the whistleblowers go out and they start provoking IRS agents and, you know, challenging the IRS departments, like at conferences and like where, you know, lack of a better way of saying, you know, what are you doing with our tax dollars? You're spending money on booze and hookers and shit like that. They basically document events and frame certain people, whether they frame them or not. But they do what they can to manipulate and get evidence against them, so that, you know, eventually when they did the lawsuit against the IRS, one of, like you said, what, hundreds of them of lawsuits, they could bring this evidence, and there's so much fucking evidence against the IRS that the IRS basically cowered down. So,
but it was on a personal attack. That was on individuals, though, too.
Yeah.
On, you know, it wasn't just the IRS as the IRS. It was like, oh, hey, you know, number two or number three in charge. Yeah. You know, we got pictures of him blowing a fucking donkey. Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fuck. Okay, yeah. Fine. You can be tax exempt.
Yeah. This went on for years. We're talking about 67, from 67 to 93 when the tax exemption was.
Yeah, they got good at it.
Well. I mean, that's a lot. That's a long time. And here, all this time, it should be public information, right? Where
and okay, they didn't.
Did you have to pay those back taxes for those years?
No.
No one knows.
Right.
Because that information, the IRS chose not to bring, not to make mm-hmm. public. The IRS did a lot of fucking shady shit during this whole thing. Let me just continue reading this. So basically, the group's president, the National Coalition of IRS Whistleblowers, Paul J. Desfossis says Scientology provided substantial financing but denies that the church ran the group, which helped fuel congressional hearings in 1989 into accusations of corruption at the IRS. In the 90s, 90 to 91, Michael L. Shummers, a former private investigator, says he and a partner investigated IRS officials on behalf of the church, looking for vulnerabilities. Late October 91, David Miscavige, widely regarded as the leader of the Church of Scientology, who he still is now, has an unusual, unscheduled meeting with Fred T. Goldberg Jr., the commissioner of the IRS. This is where it gets hairy, right? So after almost 30 years of this battle with the IRS, which, by the way, you know, you don't pay your fucking taxes, you know, in 2 or 3 years, the IRS comes and seizes your fucking property. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that the way it normally works? Like you go to jail. Like if you fail to, for instance, I own a house. Right. I fail to pay my property taxes. Right. Maybe I can get away with it for 6 months, a year, 2 years. But let's say in 5 years. Right. Los Angeles County is going to come and they're going to fucking close my door and they're going to kick my ass out.
Just ask Wesley Snipes.
But I'm just saying. Right.
Yeah.
This motherfucker's. Almost 30 years, and the fucking Celebrity Center is still recruiting. They got Scientology offices and properties all over the United States and in other countries. You know, earlier on, I mentioned something about Germany. Other countries said, you know, granted, in 97 or 93, our IRS here, US IRS, said, okay, we're granting you tax-exempt status. But in other countries where they have office churches, Germany, Spain, they're like, no, you're a fucking private commercial enterprise. You have property for the sole benefit of owning and selling things for profit, and you're not paying taxes.
For personal use.
Personal use, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So... let me see, where am I? Late October 99, David Miscavige, widely regarded as the leader of the Church of Scientology, has an unusual, unscheduled meeting with Fred T. Goldberg, who is the commissioner of the IRS. Mr. Miscavige offers to negotiate an end to the hostilities. Soon after, Mr. Goldberg appoints a 5-person negotiating group to reach a settlement with Scientology, which, by the way, when I was reading that article... He basically did not have the authority on his own to appoint a 5-person negotiating group, right? He needed to bring that forward to the IRS, to other departments, right? Mm-hmm. But this motherfucker, as the commissioner, right? Because ultimately he does have the power, right? Although he doesn't have the right, per se, right?
Mm-hmm.
To do this, he did it. So in August 13, 1993, the IRS agrees to grant tax exemptions to every Scientology entity in the United States. The church files new applications for exemptions as part of the agreement. Okay. In September of 93, two IRS tax analysts write internal memos saying that they have been instructed to ignore substantive issues in reviewing the new Scientology applications, which, by the way, once you... you grant tax exemptions, then they have to file new applications. I believe you may have to do those every year, right? Or every so often, because, you know, at some point, how do you know that, you know, the article talks about Jerry Falwell and all these other ministers and churches that they got audited. And so these people have to file these tax exemption applications. So basically what happened here was that they said, don't worry about that. Just push those through. Basically, just mm-hmm. push those applications through. So and finally, in October 8th of 93, David Miscavige tells 10,000 cheering members in L.A. that the exemptions have been granted. The war is over, he declares. October 13th, 93, in Washington, the IRS announces exemptions for about 150 Scientology entities, ending its 25-year battle with the church. So, yeah. So the Church of Scientology has various entities, I guess, but there's different factions, and they all each operate independently from each other. The whole system is set up geniusly, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't really have a problem with any organization saying, Well, actually, as a taxpayer, I do have a problem, right? Because if I'm paying fucking taxes, why aren't you paying taxes? Mm-hmm. Why are you buying all this fucking property and not paying taxes, right? And okay, so you're saying you're a religion. The problem with the hierarchy of this so-called church is that as you learned in the documentary, because you watched the documentary, mm-hmm. is that you have to take these courses, right, that ultimately lead to being cleared. They're audited. Right, auditing courses, mm-hmm. and the idea is that you share your intimate struggles, experiences, bad, good, or indifferent, and eventually you get rid of all these quote unquote demons, and then your mind is 100% free. But there's 50 million levels to this shit, mm-hmm. and each one of these levels you got to pay $500. I mean, in the 50s, there's an article here. Let me read this. I mean, maybe that might be too much, but in the 50s, this dude, L. Ron Hubbard was a Pulp Fiction writer, okay? And basically, he got paid one penny per word. So obviously, he wrote a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he wrote so much that I believe, let me see where I can find this. He holds the Guinness Book of World Records for the most amount of, what the hell is that?
Published books.
But it's not just published books.
Well, he also has the most audiobooks. And he has the single most, he has the record for one of his books being printed.
In the most languages.
In the most languages, uh-huh. and then printed most out of everything, you know?
Yeah, let me see something. I'm going to find that. I have that over here somewhere. Yeah. All right. So, well, I was looking before. He charged five, here he is. So Hubbard published over 1,000 books and holds the Guinness World Record for the number of books published. According to the film, this is going clear. The documentary, which is available on HBO Go if you have HBO. He also holds Guinness records for the most translated author, mm-hmm. Most audiobooks published by an author, and most translated author of the same book, which is The Way to Happiness, actually, not Dianetics.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's where it's based on the church is based on this science fiction writing, but in the 50s his first wife was talking about how his wife Northrop, I think Mary Northrop was her name, Elizabeth. No, hold on a second.
You know, it's interesting. Her last name is Northrop, and her boyfriend worked at JPL.
JPL?
Yeah. Jet Propulsion Laboratories.
Her boyfriend. Her ex-boyfriend,
and then Hubbard stole her away. And her last name is Northrop Grumman.
Right.
And JPL and all that whole.
Right. He.
Probably a coincidence.
He stole her away from. Well, this is. L. Ron Hubbard's. I'm sorry. Listen, if you're a Scientologist and you're listening, this is just my opinion. This is not the opinions of Skid Row Studios, but I got to say, LRH, like he is referred to, as a scumbag of the highest quality. The man was a scumbucket. Sorry to tell you. So, Sarah Northrop, he was charging in the 50s, okay, $500 a piece for training in Dianetics. This is in the fucking 50s, okay? So, as you can imagine, there are many different levels, and it's never ending, right? It's never ending. Yeah. What gets me about the book, though, is about the film, is that a lot of these people say that they didn't know, what they were getting into. They're 30 years into this fucking thing. How many fucking audits and levels of auditing have you gone through in 30 years that you don't really know that this guy's a belief system in this religion has to do with this, God Xenu, who fucking plastered the earth 50 trillion years ago, and everyone's souls got, he plastered the universe, and everyone's souls are scattered all over the fucking universe, and when you're born here on earth, you're carrying, is this the whole thing is crazy, right?
I mean, you think about it, yeah, it's crazy, but then look at Christianity.
I got it. No, I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
Look at any religion.
I knew you were going to say that. But you can't say to me, and you're right, you can't say to me that 30 years later you go, wow, I didn't know this guy was, this thing was a bunch of kook. You know what I mean?
You know what's amazing to me is that, I watched that documentary, and these guys, you would expect after 30 years in a place and being brainwashed and, going clear and all that, I would expect these guys to come out, like have some, remaining bit of like talking like a robot, like kind of just being fucked up.
But they're not.
They're
very clear-headed.
Yeah.
Upstanding. I mean, yeah. I've had run-ins. When I say run-ins, I've dealt with a few Scientologists.
Yeah.
And I'm sure many of you have. You don't even know who the fuck they are. But I mean, I had one of my first art openings, and I said this before, mm-hmm. in Pasadena, in Old Town Pasadena. And trust me, I have nothing against these people individually.
Right.
As there's nothing wrong with them. Mm-hmm. What gets me is that there's so many vulnerable people out there,
yeah.
and that's what gets me the most. You know what I mean? Well, there's two things.
I think there's probably a couple different layers of, like, if you joined Scientology, they're not going to put you in the hole because they know they can't do that to you,
Me?
You know, yeah,
I would
you.
Never join Scientology because I like to pay one time and get shit, get cured. As soon as
exactly,
they tell me you got to pay $4, $5, $8, $9,
but
ten
you say,
times,
you know,
like,
but no,
get
no.
the fuck out of here.
If you told them that, if you said, hey, you know what, go fuck yourself, I'm not paying a dime, but I love your thing and I'll promote it, then, okay.
I don't know about that. You got to pay.
I don't know if everybody has to pay. I mean, you might have to pay a little bit, or pay what you can.
Well, here, one of their enterprises, the Sea Org, members are, they have to sign a 1 billion year contract that they're there to serve. I mean, these things exist.
Yeah,
they're
I know.
Contracts. You've seen it in the fucking movie. I mean, these things exist. So, I mean, the movie is interesting because you have Tom Cruise, who's one of their biggest supporters, one of their biggest celebrities, and you have John Travolta in it. And the thing that gets me is Paul Haggis, the writer of Crash.
Yeah.
And Million Dollar Baby.
And he was a Scientologist when he wrote these things.
For 30 fucking something years.
And
the reason he leaves is because the Church of Scientology, right, is voting for Proposition 8, which is, the law that was passed a few years ago to ban gay marriages in California, which eventually a year later was repealed. But because two of his daughters are gay. Mm-hmm. So that was the thing. That was the thing that set him off. And then
Then he started reading about some of the other injustices that they were doing that Scientology has done, because apparently he was just focused and had his blinders on, because they tell you that you're not to turn on the TV, you're not to watch anything that the media says anything about us, because it's all fabricated, it's all lies, and that's where the brainwashing comes in. That's when you don't stop to look around and see where the fuck it is that you're standing and what kind of a group you're. I mean, that's insane. That is 30 years of brainwashing. That's what 30 years of brainwashing will do. So, and a lot of it, a lot of it is that, he probably didn't really, deep down inside, didn't want to know about it. He really didn't want to hear about it because he was doing well.
Right.
He was doing well.
That
will crash everything down, everything.
Also, this is something you believe in. So why would you want to hear rhetoric about, like born again Christians, right?
Mm-hmm.
They know that their thinking and their ideologies about Jesus are radical, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning they go completely against the normalcy of society, right? The grain of society.
Yeah.
So once you get involved in a group like this, everyone's going to think you're a kook, right?
And don't want to listen to that, because
you're not going to listen to it, because you're going to be like, I know what you're thinking.
Exactly. But then again, I mean, you can apply this. This is kind of how we are, I think, as human beings, because you look at super right-wing Republicans.
Right.
They never, all they listen to is what the shit that the other Republicans feed them. They never turn on, a show, or they never watch, with an objective or an open mind, And the same thing for super left wing motherfuckers.
Yeah,
they don't,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
turn on Rush Limbaugh. See what this fucker is up to. You know?
Actually, go out in the fucking world.
And talk to people. And talk to different types of people.
And see how people are affected.
Exactly.
See how people are living in our own country. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
It's just.
Here's the thing. So L. Ron Hubbard founds this religion. He invents this religion, right? So the ideology of taking these courses, right? Because he was their first auditor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. He was teaching courses in Dianetics for $500 a pop.
Right.
So that means that if you're teaching these courses, right, supposedly you're evolved, right? So you're at that level. You've gone through the program, right?
Hey, you got over all that shit, you know.
This guy's a scumbag. He's lying about his fucking service in the military. He's threatening his first wife. He takes their baby, the baby girl, to Cuba, calls his Sarah Northrup, says that he killed her. Right, that he killed the baby, just craziness.
Yeah,
he winds up dying. When was it? 1986. He died of a stroke, and he was busted, poor. I mean, I don't even understand how. Oh, here's what happened. Look, so check this out. This is interesting. Here we go. All right, so in the late 1960s, as the IRS was investigating him for tax evasion, as we just talked about, Hubbard fled the U.S. for the high seas. There, he created the Sea Org, the Sea Organization, which would become Scientology's clergy. Members would declare their loyalty to the church by signing billion-year contracts. This document says, therefore, I contract myself to the Sea Organization for the next billion years, as per Flag Order 232. And you got to sign it, date it, and witness. According to the film Going Clear, Hubbard began to create penalties, or what he called ethics, for those who made mistakes. One punishment was to throw the person in the wrong off the boat. So by the mid-70s, Hubbard's ships were not welcome to dock in the Mediterranean. So he snuck back ashore in Florida, as not to gain the attention of the IRS, and he lived in hiding the rest of his life, right? Mm-hmm. The church also was enduring tough times. In 1979, as a result of FBI raids, as we talked earlier, under that Snow White program, 11 senior people in the church, including his third wife, right, were convicted of obstructing justice, burglary of government offices, and theft of documents and government property. So this guy, who's supposed to be like the fucking example of the highest evolved human since he's done Dianetics, and you got 50 million fucking people. I could see, you know, people who read the Bible, right? They have this ideology of Jesus, who's the Son of God, who died for our sins. And if you read the Bible, there are stories or parables or different chapters that basically illustrate, you know, Jesus's life as a good Samaritan and things that he did, whether they happened or whether they were symbols, right?
They're just stories to help you get along with your neighbor.
It doesn't matter.
It's a little more reality based.
Well, it doesn't matter. What I'm saying is you can't argue with that because Jesus is not here today to contest this. You understand? Either you believe it or you don't believe it. This motherfucker was still alive up until 1986, okay? So that just goes to show you that how many fucking gullible people are there that they're buying the bullshit. Mm-hmm. Think about it. But I mean, it's just crazy. Ultimately, what's going on now is that there's a lot of accusations against the church that they do crimes against humanity by, you know, having people work for them for nothing, 50 cents a day, imprisoning people against their will. By imprisoning, I mean, they keep them in buildings and having them work for them for nothing, punishing them with outlandish methods, preventing them from contacting their family if their families are not in the Scientology organization, you know, stuff like that. So there's a lot of things that have been going on for years, accusations. But the biggest accusation now goes back to the IRS, right? And I think one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up is because we're, you know, a week away from tax date, right? April 15th. Mm-hmm. And the thing that gets me the most is how, you know, little Joe, you and I, right? Joe Blow, right? You fuck up and you mess something up on your fucking tax return, they'll be on your ass like white on rice, right? But you got these motherfuckers that, like, apparently have millions of dollars. What church do you know has millions of dollars to back them, you know, to back them up? I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Does the Catholic Church have millions of dollars supporting them? And I always thought the church, the Catholic Church was pretty much poor, but maybe I'm wrong. You know what I mean?
They have a lot. They have their own city, the Vatican.
Well, that's in Europe. I'm talking about here. In the United
here?
States.
Oh, well, what about the, you know, what about these huge super cathedrals? These, you know, the Crystal Cathedral and all that. At one point now I hear it's broke.
But those things cost a lot of money to maintain.
And they cost a lot of money to build. And people donate a lot of money to do that.
Yeah, but do they have millions building new buildings.
Do they have millions in the bank? Probably
not.
I don't think so. Not as much as Scientology does. And I don't think they have as many properties throughout the world. And I don't think, I don't know a lot of stuff, how like the Catholic religion works and all that. But I don't think that each...
Was that an opening there for a joke?
Does a church...
How the Catholic religion works? Well, it usually revolves around having a lot of little boys hang around.
But do they...
Oh, shit.
But do they share those little boys to the people in the Vatican? That's what I want to know. Are they all sending money back to the Vatican? You know, that is like the central hub of Catholicism. That's it.
Yeah.
Do they send money back to them? Because, you know.
It's crazy. It's ridiculous. Hey, you got a thought? Just give one second. Ready?
Yeah. This is Michael Chiklis, and you're listening to Nestorius Public Radio.
Fucking ain't right, you are. Go ahead.
And this is a little bit off to the side, but did you know that William S. Burroughs, he was in Scientology?
I did not know that.
He talks about it, yeah.
He talks. Who talks about it?
William S. Burroughs. He wrote a. He's got extensive handwritten notes Burroughs took on Scientological training material.
Oh shit!
Notes from auditing.
They got a Scientological. That's
a
word.
They call it Scientological.
Oh shit!
Yeah. Training materials, notes from auditing sessions Burroughs conducted, and even a cut up of. Auditing questions. I believe he wrote a book about it,
really?
Yeah.
So he probably joined so that he can infiltrate that shit, because that dude was, he was a little wacky himself.
Yeah. He wrote a letter to Allen Ginsberg. Burroughs wrote, "The method of directed recall is the method of Scientology. You will recall I wrote you urging you to contact local chapter and find an auditor." Like, he was trying to get him into it, right. I guess. But anyway, I got to read more of this. But I knew there was somebody, because I had read this thing where they fucked him up.
They starved.
Fucked
who up?
They fucked Burroughs up. Oh, Burroughs went through some shit, and this is back in the 50s.
Got it.
You know, when they're first starting out.
So there's another article that you can look up at Yahoo. Here's the title of the article: "The Chilling Story of How Scientology Founder L. Ron Hubbard." Hubbard rose to power. It was on Yahoo. It was on Yahoo Finance, but I think Business Insider was the one that wrote the article. That gives you a little history of the guy. But the thing that gets me. So here's the thing. So the second part of that questioning and that have come out of that documentary is that, are they really a religion? And are they really, do they really qualify for tax exempt status? So that's one of the things, and I think that's going to open up a new can of worms. And I hope that the IRS, if you're listening, I hope that the IRS starts fucking getting out of their fucking pussified Scientological bullshit and fucking, why don't you go after the real cocksuckers of this fucking country and leave Joe Blow, the low working class guy, the fuck alone, okay? Why don't you go after these cocksuckers? They got billions of fucking dollars in foreign assets hitting up some fucking body's ass, and why don't you go after them and you know, try to pop some fucking money out of their asses and leave us the fuck alone. All right? That's all I'm saying.
That's it.
That's it. You know what I mean? That's what I'm fucking saying. Because I'm tired of this bullshit. Of you having to be held accountable, you, the regular guy, and these big fucks, they don't have to be held accountable, including the IRS.
Right.
You know what I mean? Different factions of
NPR,
the government.
NPR, looking out for the little people.
That's it!
Looking out for the people who don't want to get fucked.
Right.
I'm glad we're together again.
Big the fuck up to all you little motherfuckers that work every day. Big up to all you little motherfuckers that stand up to the motherfuckers that try to push you away. Big up your bomba clad, pussy clad motherfucker. Have to throw in some extra big ups. They're free, you know what I mean? So let's move on to some lighter shit, man, because the thing is that it's really trippy, man. But just to close up that shit right there, the Church of Scientology doesn't freak me out that much. They don't freak me out because I'm not shocked that, you know, a group of people have come together to try to evade taxes. I'm sure they're not the first ones, and, you know, they're probably the first ones to get away with it as long as they have. But the thing that really scares me is the fact that there are so many people that are so hopeless and lost that they're actually looking for something that they would fall under, you know, the mouths, so to speak, of these people to be eaten alive, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, that's this country, though. I mean, we're socially inept, and we don't have anywhere, you know, we're always looking for something to fix us. Everybody thinks that they're broken.
Yeah.
Why do you think this shit doesn't fly in Europe? You know, this shit doesn't fly in Germany. Because
I don't care how many Scientology courses you've taken. I don't give a shit, you motherfucker. You need to pay taxes to the French government, you cocksucker. Who don't give a shit? I don't give a shit how many Scientological courses you've taken. Yo, so let's move on. So you read about that driver? That fucking driver that fucking fell off that diffused bridge in, what was it, Idaho?
Yeah, he's going to sue somebody. He's going to sue somebody.
Motherfucker is following, he's following a GPS, and he fucking flies off the bridge. For those of you that don't know, this happened late last month. And the Klein Bridge in Indiana. That has been closed since 2009. And there's barricades and all sorts of shit. This motherfucker, he wasn't smoking crack.
How the fuck do you get around concrete barricades,
dude,
and all that shit?
Dude, he was
Come
determined.
On. He was like, he was what? Why are they putting this in the middle of the freeway?
He
what
was
is
determined
this?
To get to the Arby's, you know what I'm saying?
This is bullshit.
He basically fucking plugged in Arby's on his GPS, and he was determined. He said, you're not going to fool me. I know this is the way to go. Turn left. Recalculate.
This is some kind of Scientologist plot to
Turn
keep
right.
me from Arby's.
So this motherfucker, basically 64-year-old, his name is Ifitkar Hussein. Ifitkar Hussein.
Well, and that's that's why.
Well, actually, unfortunately, his wife was a passenger, and they both plunged 37 feet off the now-demolished bridge, and she died.
Mm.
Yeah. So his 51-year-old wife, Zora Hussein, died. So, you know.
Zorro?
Zora.
Oh, Zora.
Z-O-H-R-A. Ironically, they're from Chicago, and they were visiting relatives there.
So they didn't know the area.
So a word to the wise. Let me just give you a little NPR heads up and a little NPR advice, right? So it's okay if you want to use a GPS, a global positioning satellite navigational device.
By the way, Nestorius does not use a GPS. I've never seen this man open a GPS app. He doesn't use one. He just knows where he's going.
You know why?
That's the thing.
You know
he's
why?
Got a GPS shoved in his brain somewhere.
No, 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 no.
Because he's a New Yorker, everybody.
No, 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 no. The reason is because before I get in my motherfucking car, I know where I'm going, okay? Before Nestorius turns on the motherfucking ignition, he knows where he's going. Let me define what that means. That means I put point A to point B. Say you want to use Google Maps, which is my favorite. Not to advertise Google, but it's my favorite. I put point A to point B. Directions, please. And it gives me a fucking scope of directions, in which case I'm a visual person. So I now have an aerial view, right, of where I'm going. And so if I'm not sure, I zoom in to the fucking point of the intersection where I'm going. So now I know where the fuck I'm going. I don't need no fucking GPS, you cocksuckers. But, all right, in all fairness, for you guys, I should say for all you women, because most of the women use the GPS and Rich. For all you people who need for all you...
What are you saying about women?
Nothing.
Most of the women
are using the GPS. Yes, that's a fact. That's statistics. I looked it up.
Oh, really?
I looked it up.
That's because it's the voice.
I looked it up. Trust me, I looked it up. The statistics.
Most women use it because they can't trust men for directions.
Oh,
there you go.
Shit.
That's fine.
There it is.
That's fine. You can come up with whatever reason why women use it, but the truth is,
I use GPS to get here. You know why? Because that 101 is a piece of shit, and I need to know when I'm going to turn off the freeway.
Most women.
And then
I turn
it off.
Most women use it.
I just check the traffic. That's it.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I use a map, and for you people who use a GPS, that's fine. All I'm saying is get an overall scope of where you're going before you get in the car, and in the event that you use a GPS, you still have a general idea of where you're going. Because let me explain something to you. Let's say that the satellite signal goes to shit. Now you're in the middle of fucking gangland, fucking central LA.
You're in Rampart!
Yo, Rampart, motherfucker! You don't even know where the fuck you are.
Yo, we in Rampart, son.
Get your wife out the car. I'm a bitch ass slap that motherfucking hoe. You get the fuck out the car and give me the Mercedes Benz keys, bitch. Alright, that could happen to you.
That's how they do it in Rampart.
Alright, so yes sir, we're bringing that shit back. You know what I'm saying? So let me see. What should I do? Should I go to... I don't want to get too fucking crazy because I know you're going to get ill if I bring up the Los Angeles restaurant first to add tip line on checks for kitchen staff
and
cooks.
I don't give a fuck. But you know what? No, let's talk about the Montana thing.
I want to talk about the Montana.
That's some fucked up shit because I was thinking this.
I want to talk about the Montana thing, but I just want to say only in fucking Los Angeles, okay? Well, by the way, Los Angeles, Southern California, is the only place in the United States that you can find yourself with a fist up your ass and not really realize that it's up your ass, and less than that, you don't even know how it got there. But the law was passed, and it's legal.
What?
That you're walking around with a fist up your ass.
Well, yeah, you know, that was inserted, like 10 years ago.
Los Angeles restaurant first to add tip line on checks for kitchen staff and cooks. So not only are they putting a tip line for the server, but they added a tip line for the kitchen staff. Now, this is not a mandatory tip. It's just an additional line if you want to give it.
Right.
So,
and that's nice. And,
because
here's the thing. It might cause the guys in the kitchen to cook your food a little better, make it maybe a little tastier when you fucking, you know.
You know what? There's an episode that I did on tipping.
And here's the thing. I know I was there, but here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. If you're one of these motherfuckers that looks at the menu, and is not pleased with what the sides are, what sauce is with there, the chef, the cooks, those guys,
the sauces,
they have fucking spent a lot of time to combine all of these things so it tastes good. Now what you're gonna do is you're gonna have the cooks make something completely different. Something that they're not used to making.
That's right.
And then you're going to complain about it because this guy is not used to making your fucking filet mignon with some kind of crab coconut sauce on there.
Yeah.
They don't even know how to make a crab coconut
filet
sauce.
Filet mignon, crab coconuts. That's
they can't do that
crab
shit.
Coconuts.
Don't try to do that shit. Just stick with the menu. They've been making that all day. Don't fuck with the guys in the back. But if you do, if you're insistent on that, leave them. Now you can leave them $5 for fucking up their night.
Yo, stick with the winners. So Montana, kick it. That's
Montana.
Your shit. Do you have it?
I don't have it up, but Montana is this. There's a senator out there who wants to make it illegal for people to wear yoga pants in public. And you know what? I cannot side with this guy, but I'll tell you why. This is why.
Go ahead. You can't side with him?
I cannot side with him because I want to see the yoga pants in public. I was at the store. I looked over. I could see every curve of this chick's ass. Like, you could see everything. It was crazy. Like,
but
I just like,
so
oh,
comfy.
Shit.
But they're so comfy.
It's a beautiful thing for us men to look over and just see a woman with painted on pants, man. They beautiful.
Here's the deal. I kind of tend to side with him. So it's he's a Montana.
Hey, take it easy. On. Move to Montana then.
He's a Montana senator. So basically, let me just say
he's
this.
He's a stuck-up, sticky beak.
Hold on. State Representative David Moore, Republican of Missoula, Montana, introduced a bill that would expand the state's existing indecent exposure laws in addition to banning all public exposure of nipples, both male and female. Now, hold on a second. That's fucked up. I want to see nipples. I don't want to see fucking spandex asses and fucking camel toe and fucking, you know, extra jiggles.
Oh, I want to see the camel toe.
But nipples, I want to see nipples. Anyway, so he's banning all public exposure of nipples, both male and female. The bill would also outlaw any piece of clothing that gives the appearance or simulates the pelvic area, buttocks, genitals, or female nipple, the Associated Press reported. All right, so let me just wrap this up and say, the reason why I side with this guy is because something happened in the 80s, and that was the workout videos, prompted and headed by Jane Fonda. Let's get physical videos with, what was her name, from Australia?
Yeah.
You remember her? Olivia Newton-John.
Olivia Newton-John.
Okay, so in the 80s...
Do you know how much jizz ended up on my TV screen because of those goddamn workout videos? Oh, my goodness.
That's disgusting. That's disgusting. So let me just say this, why I side with him. I'm going to say why I side with him. In the 80s, DuPont Chemical Plant got together and invented this fucking fabric called spandex. And a lot of people didn't realize that was made for working out, not for going out shopping. As a result, people started walking out in public with these things, and cellulite fucking ass fucking tumors were popping out, and this shit is just straight up disgusting. So you can't regulate whether a nice ass, a beautiful woman's ass...
Hey, you just look away. You just look away.
That's disgusting.
No, you look away, you go, and then you look away. It's like people telling you, they shouldn't have this movie released because it's dirty. Okay. Well, then don't see the fucking movie. Fuck off.
So we're wrapping this up. If you want to vote on the yoga illegal pants, you can go to the Montana Senator's hearing.
It.
And you don't have to live in Montana. You can just put in your 2 cents. You're a United States citizen. I'll tell them I said you. To tell them that Nasorious Public Radio said it was okay. And you can vote in. Anyway, that's our time. Thank you for tuning in for this wonderful show on Scientology, GPS, and Ass Crack. All right? Peace out, and we'll see you next week.
Talking shit, so y'all gotta encourage me the whole way along.